welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
We're going to talk today about cryoablation. There are three principles of therapy in patients with atrial fibrillation to alleviate the symptoms, the prevention of tachycardia-mediated cardiomyopathy, and the third is a reduction in the risk of stroke. The first two goals can be achieved with either rate or rhythm control strategy, or perhaps both. For patients in whom a rhythm control strategy is chosen, catheter ablation and antiarrhythmic drug therapy are the two primary strategies to reduce the frequency or eliminate episodes of atrial fibrillation. This catheter ablation is a reasonable treatment option when medications are unable to control symptoms. About 70% of patients after an ablation are symptom-free at a year, and the success rate for ablation in patients with long-standing persistent atrial fibrillation, that is people who have had AFib over a year, unfortunately, is a little bit poorer outcome. One option is DC or electric energy. Radio frequency energy is felt to be superior to electric energy. Then along comes cryotherapy ablation. Cryothermal ablation, as it's formally called, offers the potential benefit of reversible cold mapping. What this means is that if mild cooling of an area has the intended effect, antiarrhythmic effect, more profound freezing can inflict permanent tissue damage, which is what they're after. If after this minimal cooling, it is not shown to be effective, you can thaw out the tissue, and apparently there's no damage to the tissue whatsoever. You found a poem, or you're going to tell us about a poem that was in the New England Journal of Medicine, published in 2021. It starts on page 305. It attempts to answer the question, is cryoablation more effective than drug therapy to prevent recurrence of atrial fibrillation? So not compared to the other types of ablation, but to drug therapy. Mark, what does the study tell us?
Yeah, they found 300 adults with paroxysmal AF, and they randomized them to either cryoablation initially or to an antiarrhythmic drug chosen by the treating physician. Most often that was flecainide. The groups looked the same at baseline. The average age was about 58 years, and the median duration of AF was about a year. They then did the procedures and followed patients for up to 1 year. During that year, patients recorded episodes of symptomatic atrial fibrillation, and they also wore an implantable monitor to detect any episodes of tachyarrhythmias that they weren't aware of. They were able to cross over from medication to cryotherapy if they had an episode of this tachyarrhythmia in the first 90 days. The episode warranted a change in therapy, and the patient was already taking a therapeutic dose of their antiarrhythmic. This happened to about 1 in 4 patients in the drug therapy group crossing over. They analyzed the results by intention to treat. The outcomes were assessed blindly, which is good. At 1 year, the likelihood of any episode of atrial tachyarrhythmia was significantly lower in the ablation group, 43% versus 68%. So that's an NNT of 4. Symptomatic episodes were also significantly less common in the ablation group, 11 versus 26%, so NNT of 7. There was a slightly greater improvement in a quality of life score that was specific for AF, about a 8 to 10 point difference on a 100-point scale. That's kind of borderline significant. Serious adverse events were similar. Hospitalizations were more common in the drug therapy group, 13 versus 5. And I think I'll add also that these drugs, you know, often have side effects and costs associated with them. Cryoablation isn't free, but, you know, I think there is an advantage to not having to take a drug chronically. So bottom line, initial cryoablation for patients with paroxysmal AF was superior to initial antiarrhythmic drug therapy. There was another study in the same issue of the New England Journal comparing cryoablation with medical therapy and also had generally similar findings.
You've given us a number of impressive outcomes in terms of quality of life and number needed to treat. It sounds like this is really a significant game changer.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, I had a couple episodes of AF back in my 30s. And if it ever comes back and stays, then certainly I'll be looking to that therapy. I think that seems like, at least for me, and you know, you have to individualize this. You have to talk to the patient, and maybe not everybody is a good candidate for this, or it works in everybody, but I think it's certainly something to strongly consider.
Does the cryotherapy, how does it compare with the other types of catheter ablation?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with direct comparisons. I think the advantage of the cryoablation is, like you described, that there's potentially less harm. But I'm not, and I'm not aware. There may well have been some direct comparison studies, but I'm not aware of that.
Thanks, Mark. Very interesting study. We'll talk with you again in a week.
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.